Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We have two Shocker golfers as our guests today. Wichita State, early in its spring season, they're coming off a good start in a tournament in Mexico. The next action for the Shocker golfers is March 11th and 12th in the Tiger Invitational in Auburn, Alabama. Michael Winslow is a junior. He is from Overland Park. Blake Lorenz is from Phoenix, and he is a senior. Blake earned All-American Athletic Conference honors last spring after leading the Shockers with a stroke average of 72. Michael's stroke average of 73.3 ranked second on the team last spring. He started this spring by tying for fifth in the Los Vaqueros Intercollegiate in Cancun. He shot a 218. Blake tied for ninth with a 5-over par 221, and the Shockers placed fourth in the 9-team tournament. Let's start with some just general golf fun questions. Blake, what's the favorite course you've played as a Shocker?
Favorite course, Pebble Beach is number one. It was insane. Spectacular views, great conditions. That's got to be my number one.
Was there a hole that stands out? What was memorable or tough, or what did you nail?
I mean, that stretch from six and seven has got to be up there. Going up the hill on six, hitting that second shot of that par five, and then once you get up top there, you kind of are met with a pretty insane view of Pacific, and hitting that shot on seven is one of the coolest ones you'll ever do in your life. So that's definitely it for me.
That's a good one. Michael, how about you?
I probably would say probably Baltusrol growing up. I played there in 2018 for the U.S. Junior. That place was pretty cool. We played the upper and the lower that year for it, and I mean, the conditions there, the history with having PGA championships and U.S. Opens there and whatnot throughout the years, you can really feel it. And on the lower course, there's a plaque of Jack Nicklaus's famous shot into the 18th green. So it's just really cool. The conditions cool, the history. I just really enjoyed that course and everything around it, too.
So. Those are two really good ones. Michael, how about what's the course you want to play before you die?
Augusta. I want to play Augusta. I think that's on a lot of golfers' bucket list, but would love to be playing a tournament there at one point. So,
Blake, how about you? What's tops on your list?
I mean, that's a good answer. That's a pretty easy one. But I think I'm gonna go Pine Valley. I think just heard a lot of good things about it. I think it's pretty up there on everyone's list. So that one would be really cool.
Have either of you been to Augusta to watch or drive around or anything? No.
No, but hopefully soon.
That would be a good one. Blake, your history with the sport. Describe the time that you fell in love with golf.
Man, it was probably when I was about 7 or 8. I was big into all sports growing up when I was young. I played just about anything I could, especially with having three brothers. It was pretty easy to go from season to season. But my younger brother, Ben, he's at OU right now, but he was the golf prodigy, quote unquote, in our family. And when he's a couple years younger than me. So anytime he would go play when we were young, my parents would kind of not make me go, but just be out there with him, because they didn't want him being out there by himself. So me and him spent a lot of time together when we were young, growing up, you know, playing par three courses over all around the Phoenix area, and then, you know, kind of slowly moving our way up, and then. But basically our relationship, was what made me love it. I was just able to get really close with him, and we spent a ton of time together, and, just having something like that to be able to share with him was great and what made me fall in love with it.
Michael, how about you?
I would say it really falls back on family as well for me. My siblings are quite older than me. My brother's 10 years older than me and my sister's 8 years. So there's a big gap, but, when I was younger, I mean, I'd probably say 3-4, I would just be brought to the golf course. My dad was a teaching pro growing up as well, so I've had that golf background forever. But just being brought to the golf course, I remember the course I grew up in KC was called Shadow Glen, but the first hole had this, like, 30-yard carry of water just off the tee box. And so my dad, to get me out to the golf course, he'd be like, all right, you can have, you know, a lemonade and just hang out, but at the end of the day, you have to go down there and try to hit the golf ball over the water. So that's where I love the game, and, you know, eventually I just top it right in the water, but the first time I ever got over the water. That's probably where the love came for the game, for sure.
So you both mentioned family, parents coming to, you know, supporting you, coming to tournaments. It's always interesting to talk to parents. Some of them can't watch. They have to, you know, walk away, or they have to watch. They're just different nerves, different levels. Describe your parents, your family. What are they like when they're watching you compete, Blake?
Well, I would say they love watching it. I think both my parents just love seeing all their kids do what they love. And we're all super competitive, from my dad all the way down to my youngest sister and younger brother. So they love just watching us compete. I would say that they definitely do get nervous watching, probably a little bit more nervous than the person who's actually playing in the round. Being on both ends of either playing or watching my brother play, you know, I'm kind of able to see how they handle it, and also like how it looks when I'm watching them watch me. So they definitely get pretty nervous watching either me or Ben, but they ultimately just want to see their kids do well. So, but they love watching and supporting, and that's probably one of my favorite things, is having them out there. I get to, you know, smile at them and talk with them in between shots sometimes, but just having them out there is a blessing, and I wish they could be out there for everyone, but yeah.
Sure. Michael, how about you?
I completely agree. Having family out there on the golf course just makes it, even your worst days, great days. So I think that's really important. I mean, I'd say my mom and dad are, we're all very, you know, holy and religious. And so my mom's always, you know, you can look over there and if she's being quiet or not with my dad, I know she's just like praying the rosary or something, trying to calm herself down and, you know, pray for the best things and whatnot. Which I love. It's just, you know, who she is, and I love it. But, yeah, it's always fun having them around. They come to a lot of events. You know, obviously they're 2 hours away from me, so it's pretty easy for them to, you know, get around down to here, or in general, just going to tournaments and whatnot if we're playing a Midwest more schedule. But it's great. I completely agree with Blake. It's hard to beat when your parents are out there, and just as fun to have people around that love you. So
excellent. Parents are important. So Blake, when you mentioned super competitive and brothers, there's got to be a story about board games being thrown or a rush to the Christmas presents, something like that. What's the best family competitive spirit story you've got?
Oh, man, there's a lot to choose from. To be honest, it's hard to narrow down to one, but we always used to get super, super competitive on the ping pong table. It was always a race to see who could beat my dad, because my dad always used to be really, really good when we were younger. I have now taken that crown from him, and I would like to say it's either me or Ben, but we could spend hours up there. We had a little ping pong table pool table that we had up there in the game room, and I mean, we spent so much time up there. It would always end up usually getting pretty heated just from the competitive nature and both players wanting to win so bad, but that's got to be the one game but then again, you could basically put us in any atmosphere that is somewhat competitive, and it's going to get pretty heated regardless. I mean, both guys always want to win so bad to where you could throw us in anything. So
very good ping pong stories. Can't beat a good ping pong story. So Blake, Judd Easterling, coach of the Shockers, he describes riding with you in the car, team van, as he is the worst DJ who thinks he is the best DJ. Tell us about your musical choices and why they irritate Judd Easterling when you're in charge.
I think that he just says that because he wants to get a little rise out of people, but I think he's trying to get a rise out of me, but honestly, I just think that's completely false information. Everyone that I ride with tells me how good my playlists are, song choice are. I kind of bounce around everywhere. I'm a hip hop guy, but I also have like been getting into country. So I'm a very, my music taste is kind of all over the place, but it's just nice. And everyone always compliments me on it. And I think he's just saying that to try to get under my skin, which it might be working a little bit, but yeah, we just like to have a good time in the car. And I like to just try to keep the vibes up if they're down, or, you know, just keep them going. So music is a good way to do that. But yeah, it's just fun in those car rides. It gets pretty crazy. So.
Okay, Michael, do you have an opinion on who's the best DJ?
I mean, I will say, but I live with Blake. You know, he sometimes gets going with the same songs for about a week or two. But I don't blame him. I do the same thing, so I'm not gonna give him any. I'm not criticizing him in one way. I mean, I don't know who the best DJ would be. I mean, could say selfishly myself, but I'm probably not up there. I'm just pretty relaxed when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't know who I quoted last year. Maybe it was like Tate or somebody, but Tate always has the speaker playing. I know that.
Yeah, he does always have it.
So he usually gets probably more of the credit. He plays some good songs. I mean, Ass and Sneaky has some good songs too.
There's a lot of good DJs on our team, honestly.
Yeah. We've got a lot. I mean, all of us, we listen to everything. We listen to country. We listen to classic rock. We listen to rap. We listen to hip hop, you know. It just depends on what we're feeling, so we all have a playlist for that and whatnot. So I feel like we all can trust each other to play something good too.
Yeah, there's no bad options there, I think.
Yeah, I guess Ty's been if we have like outdoor practice or something, we'll play some music. Ty's got the speaker going now, so I think he could be up there for, you know, honorable mention at least.
Yeah, you could bounce anyone in there.
Yeah, so no, it's been fun. It's always fun to have. I mean, music makes it more fun and whatnot too, and just a, you know, social environment and more, you know, practice too, just kind of a relaxed practice, have some music playing in the background. It's nice too. So
Michael, you went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Johnson County, one of the best golf high schools in the state of Kansas. Tell us how you ended up here at Wichita State. What was the recruiting journey like?
It was a little tough for me. I graduated high school in 2021, which is kind of, you know, kind of middle of COVID and whatnot. But leading up to that, obviously, college commitments is a little bit earlier, you know, either your fall of senior year or, you know, even the spring of your junior year. So obviously that was during COVID. It kind of was a little interesting. I was hesitant on where I wanted to go, but it ended up being that I was going to take a gap year in between high school and college. And Coach Eastern Lane reached out to me in the summer that I decided this, and he said, why don't you come up on a visit in the fall, and we'll, you know, talk about, you know, coming here and playing. And so I did that, and he offered to start in the spring. So instead of taking my full gap year, I only took a semester off, and I've been blessed to have that opportunity since. So it's been a great experience. It's great from, you know, being from Kansas City. It's only 2.5 hours away, so it's very nice for that factor.
Blake, tell us how you ended up at Wichita State.
Oh man, long, long road. I get a lot of flack for being in college for so long, but I spent 4 years at the University of Oklahoma. I graduated there with my bachelor's in 2022, and had 2 years left from COVID and a red shirt that I wasn't really ready to give up, and wanted to keep playing college golf because, I mean, it's such a cool environment. Being in a team atmosphere with guys your age and being able to travel with them and go to some really cool spots and be able to compete. And I really didn't want to give that up and wanted to spend some more time in the golfing world, and honestly just wasn't ready to give up on the dream of taking it to the next level. So I entered the transfer portal after I graduated, and Coach Easterling reached out to me. He was one of the first guys that reached out, came down here for a visit. And I mean, him and our assistant at the time, Josh Galigi, they were really, really good to me. They, you know, they made me feel like I was already on the team and made me feel like I was at home already. And tough decision, but it was close to as many of the people that I love, you know, in Oklahoma and around this area in the central part of the United States. So pretty, great slate of courses in the Wichita area. You know, I was able to get an MBA at my time here, so kind of using it wisely. And, you know, that was kind of the main thing. I mean, I just liked the environment that Coach Easterling brought, and all the guys have been absolutely great to me, and they made me feel like, you know, I've been a veteran in Wichita State for 6 years. So they accepted me really, really easily, and, you know, we just have a really good time out here, so.
You brought up the variety of courses, which Judd tells me about all the time. Maybe that'd be good for listeners to understand how that's part of this golf program and why it's important. A lot of good golf courses, a lot of variety. How's that affect your life as a college golfer?
I mean, it's nice. Just being able to have the opportunity to go to multiple different places is great. I mean, I think in college golf, our coach never, he likes to say that it's never usually 75 and sunny. That's just not college golf atmosphere. You end up playing in a lot of wind, you know, a lot of temperatures that you most likely wouldn't like to. But I think having a variety of places to play that offers a unique challenge that most universities don't have. So being able to go to a place that's, you know, tighter, more old-fashioned, like Wichita Country Club, you know, tighter off the tee, tree line. And then, you know, we go out to Flint Hills, which is, you know, pretty big boy golf course, long, got to hit it straight, you know, pretty undulating greens. And then, I mean, we have Crestview North. We're going to Sand Creek later today for qualifying, another, you know, pretty tight off the tee. So just having variety, I think, challenges all parts of your game. And I think that's good and allows you to be ready for any kind of course you're going to see in this season.
Michael, give people an idea about what's maybe a typical week or 2 weeks like as far as going to different courses. How's it set up? How does that work to try to, you know, improve your games?
So right now this is nice because we've got a month in between our next event. So this is, you know, a perfect example in this situation. So for instance, this week we're back into qualifying. So we're going, like, we go Monday usually practice, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday we're playing. So some sort of qualifying round. Usually we're doing 3 rounds of qualifying per qualifier. So this week we went to Wichita Country Club on Tuesday and played 18 holes. Yesterday we played Rolling Hills for 18 holes. And then today we're playing Sand Creek for 18 holes. And then we'll have practice on Friday and Saturday, off day Sunday. And, you know, sprinkle some workouts in there as well. And you kind of stamp that over the period of time. Obviously, it's nice when we have this time, we can kind of structure qualifying kind of more spread out in a sense. And so that can allow us to really prepare for our next event when the time comes about, you know, end of February here, leading into March. So we can actually have, you know, a good amount of time to prepare for what we're expecting in Auburn. So, I mean, that's kind of really structured. Usually Mondays and Wednesdays we have workouts. In the mornings, and it's pretty, you know, it can get busy there quick. If you're a class, you have everything in there. Like yesterday, I didn't get home till about 10 p.m. because I was workouts, class, qualifying, straight to study hall. So it's just, you know, you got to understand that, you know, life of a golfer, we're out there for 4 hours playing golf, and it can really, you know, 4 hours isn't enough most of the time. That's just playing. You got to still practice your own parts of your game. So I think, you know, the times that we have required practice, you got to times that too by, you know, by yourself practice too. So
Judd was really excited about the trip to Cancun. He thought it was really good on the golf course. He thought it was really good off the golf course. Blake, tell us about those days down in Mexico and why it was so productive for the Shockers.
Man, it was fantastic. I was telling the guys, you know, as we were flying back, that was probably my most memorable and probably my favorite trip in my entire collegiate career. It was just a great atmosphere from the time we got off the plane in Mexico to the time we were getting back on it and flying back into the States. I mean, everyone was there, and, you know, when it was time for business, we all kind of locked in and, you know, got our work done and the prep work done before the event. And when we were on the course, I mean, everyone was, you know, grinding. It was a tough track. It was tight. You know, there was a lot of trouble and a lot of times where you could get into some serious trouble if you weren't locked in and weren't, you know, staying focused for that entire, you know, 18 holes. But it was a grind, and you could see it on everyone's face after the round. It's just as mentally exhausting as it is physically, just being having to stay focused and that locked in for that long of time. But, you know, after we were done, sign the scorecards and just go back to the resort, and there were so many things to do there. I mean, you know, we could eat as much as we want, you know, all-inclusive food. That was absolutely fantastic. There's, I mean, beach right next to all of our rooms. They had a couple pools. You know, you could honestly, if you were in your hotel room, that was kind of a waste of the time. There was so much to do there. It was great weather. You know, it was hard to complain about really anything. So it was one of my one of my most memorable trips for sure.
Michael, what are your thoughts on why that was a good trip for the Shockers?
Yeah, I think it was great. I think there was a lot of team bonding. You know, this is my second time out of the country, and I mean, just be blessed to be put in that situation too, with all the guys. I mean, we had six of our guys down there, and it was so fun. Just, you know, it besides the golf, just, you know, we would talk and really drew closer for, you know, this upcoming spring. And so I mean obviously we all battled during the day, but it was really nice to just relax and have fun with each other, and you know, let the you know, get rid of the bad shots thinking and just think about the good things, and you know, be grateful that we're in Cancun. You know, when things are going tough, you got to realize that, man, I'm in Cancun right now. So that's really how my mindset during the week was, you know, even on the course was, you know, maybe I had a bad swing, still be grateful for where you're at and what you have. And so I think that was a big, you know, breakthrough for us and our team, and I think Coach would totally agree. It was just, you know, the vibes were totally higher. I think really we've had some good meetings over the off season, and it showed in this first event in the spring. So I'm really looking forward to the rest of the spring here.
So Blake, last semester of college golf, how has that changed or heightened, or how's it kind of affected how you've approached this spring and the mindset?
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer to think about my tenure being over after these couple months, but I mean, it's been great. It's really easy to look back at all the time that I spend with, you know, every group of guys that I've been around. Honestly, I've just tried to stay in a mindset of being grateful and just being glad that I've been put in a position here to be able to help a team out, and you know, be able to spend time with these guys has been great. So just trying to take kind of not take every day for granted, and you know, really soak every bit of it in, all the trips, you know, all the times that maybe would go unnoticed, just trying to be grateful for the opportunities I have, and hopefully, you know, go down to conference after we, you know, maybe win a couple events and go take care of business at conference. But yeah, just grateful to be in this spot, and just looking forward to the rest of the spring.
So over your time as a college golfer, what have you learned about leadership and helping the freshman who is new to this whole world?
I've always been a big believer in, you know, being a leader of example, and showing, being a good example for guys to look at and say, you know, if he's doing it this way and he's gotten to, you know, this point, you know, hopefully be in a position of influence. But just being a good example, you know, on and off the course, you know, in school, you know, making sure I'm taking care of everything I need to. That way I have time to, you know, do everything I need to on the course. Time management has been a big thing as well. There's just, like Mike said, there's days and semesters where you get, you know, you're waking up at 6:30 in the morning for workouts, and then you don't really have time to go back home and shower, and you're just going to class, and then, you know, we have qualifying at 12:30 or 1, and you're playing until 5 o'clock, and then if you have something in the afternoon, you know, most of the time you're going straight from the golf course to whatever responsibility that is, and it gets long and it gets hard to do it, and it kind of gets repetitive, and like you don't have enough time to do anything. But that's kind of the world that we live in, and that's, I think, why we love it. It keeps us busy, and you know, as long as you're focused on the right things, it's been great. And but yeah, just trying to be an example for guys to look at, and you know, if my input's needed, I will provide it. But being someone that people could look up to and see how he's doing it, and hopefully they follow along.
So you'll have your master's degree. What's next for you after college?
Big decision. It's flip-flopped over the years. I've been kind of on the fence of, you know, whether or not to turn pro or you know, do something else. And I think just with these last 2 years, it's kind of revived my love for the game and being able to compete in day in and day out. And it's made me want to keep going. And so I think I will end up turning pro right after I finish college. Don't know exactly what that looks like. Probably a lot of qualifying, you know, hopefully do Q school, but, we'll see when we're in that spot, but that's the plan, to try to keep this dream going as long as I can.
Michael, take us through your time here at Wichita State. Where do you feel like you've improved the most with your golf game?
I would say, it's a good question. I think I've become more routine-based in my golf game. I think since when I came here, it was just kind of like, you know, like any freshman will usually, you know, will say, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, that just kind of happens or whatnot. And so it's really over time, I've really kind of figured out, oh, how do I do this and that, and really have a structure around what do I need to do and what do I need to have for my golf game to perform well. And so if that looks like in practice or just understanding mechanics or, you know, mental eating, all the little things that play into playing well. And so I think before that, it was just kind of, you know, it was just, you know, kind of brush it off or just kind of let it happen in a sense. But now it's just more sometimes when you get a little bit more conscious about your game and whatnot and getting up to that bigger level, you got to make sure that you have that same routine and know which one works the best. And I think over my 3 years of being here, that's something I'm still working on, but I think it's definitely improved over time and whatnot. So I'd say I learned that a lot. I mean, just probably being more relaxed on the course, tenacity. So it's been a great experience and great learning experience for sure over this time so far.
So Blake, describe the challenges learning the game in Arizona, then coming to Oklahoma and Kansas, where you're obviously going to encounter some different conditions. What's that like?
Big culture shock there. There is a little bit of weather in Arizona, but I mean, if I'm being completely honest, it's a lot of the days are pretty warm and pretty minimal wind. And being there my whole life, and like that's basically where I learned how to play and where I grew up playing. And going to the central part of the United States, you just get met with a lot of cold and a lot of wind and a lot of adverse conditions that I wasn't exactly used to. You basically have to kind of change the structure of how you play, especially on those days that it's tough. The mentality changes, mindset changes, the way that I swing changes a little bit. And, you know, you try to take every day and learn from it, but spending a decent amount of time over here, I feel like I've gotten used to it. But I think it just adds more and more layers to your game, being able to play in those kind of conditions. I mean, that's what we see day in and day out here. You know, pretty low wind days, you know, anything under 20 miles an hour. So we're kind of used to it blowing pretty good, being able to figure out, you know, what that wind's going to do to the golf ball and how much it's going to affect it and whether or not I want to hold it up against, you know, all the different technical factors. I could dive into it, but just learning from past experiences and playing in tougher conditions has made me more gritty, I would say, and more tenacious, like Mike said. And you know, most of the time you kind of just have to take it with a grain of salt and, you know, just put your head down and get to work. And it may not look pretty, but that doesn't really matter. All that matters is, you know, what numbers you're writing on the scorecard. So just being able to go out each day and not let those conditions take you out of the wrong mindset before the day starts. And, you know, everyone knows it's going to be a grind and everyone knows it's going to be a struggle.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, just being able to be ready for anything, whether that's weather, you know, conditions, anything, I think gives you a little bit of a leg up on the competition and allows you to get through those days a little bit easier.
prepares you for the British Open, I guess, is one way of looking for looking at it.
That's why Tom Watson won so many. He's from Kansas City. He's won what, five Britishes. I mean, I'll tell you.
Who's the teammate who's improved the most from, let's say, September 1st, start of the fall?
I'd say you throw both the freshmen and their, from their first qualifier. Obviously probably nerves like any freshman. But you throw both those guys in there and you see that ever since the that first qualifier, they've really improved scores-wise. They've improved as players themselves. It's been fun to watch. Obviously we have their backs and want them to play well and learn a lot. And they come up to us and ask us questions and, come to us for things because obviously seniority and whatnot. But I think they've really improved as, not just golfers, they've improved of maturity and they like to make sure that they, how do I word this, push you too. I mean, they chirp, that's for sure. They start chirping us a little bit and keep us in line. But, at the end of the day, we have to make sure that they know who's going to beat them. So, but freshmen, they've really improved for sure. So
the two freshmen on the team, Ty Adkins from Hutchinson and Connor Geist, Cape and Mount Carmel, here in Wichita. What is the best advice you have for a youngster? Let's start. They're thinking about getting into golf. They're 7, 8 years old. Blake, what's the best way to go about learning this game?
Man, that's a loaded question. I think I could go from a lot of different areas. I think, best way to learn it, huh? I think that it's a big time constraint. I think that it's something that you have to put a lot of time and energy in. So just knowing that at the beginning, but honestly, just this may sound niche, but making it as fun as you can. I think the best times I've had in golf, and I think the times where I've played my best, is when I've enjoyed it the most. I have found that the harder I try to make things happen, the less they tend to make it, the less they tend to happen. So, I think that having some of those core memories, like we talked about, early on in your career, being able to go back to those and make the game kind of how it was when you first started learning it and first fell in love with it, I think is a big key to not getting burnt out and just being able to enjoy even on those hard days when whether your game is struggling or you're not in a great mental spot, but being able to actually make it enjoyable. I've struggled when I've wanted it too much or I've been pushing really, really hard, and obviously hard work is important, but making it enjoyable to where it doesn't really feel like work is a big thing that I've tried to incorporate over my years in college, and I think that that's helped a lot.
Michael, what's your advice for a youngster getting started in golf?
I completely agree. It's, make it as fun as possible. I think, looking back at myself and, my siblings especially, I think having someone to do, go out there with, I think either it's your dad, mom or dad. I've always grown up with my dad, he would always come out there with me, because he's a teaching pro, but having that friend, like Blake said, him and his brother pushed each other to be, the best they could be. I think, if you don't have any siblings, you go find you have one of your close friends that it's interested too. I think it's really important to just have someone out there that's going to push you and you push them. And obviously, when you're younger, I think it's just important to make sure that you're always doing something that's, something on the line, your dad takes you out there and, you don't want to come to the golf course. Well, how about if I get you a Coke or ice cream or something like that? I think that really draws in kids are really being stubborn in a sense, which, I was in when I was younger too. But, I think that's kind of having some incentives and stuff. And, it's just supposed to be a fun game. You don't have to make it a,
lifelong competitiveness. It can just be a game of being out in nature and relax and having fun. And there's so many ways. You can be the highest level or you can be the lowest level, but everyone enjoys it and through and has the same enjoyment. So I think instead of just focusing on, you know, how you're scoring and whatnot, just go out there and, you know, have fun with your family, your friends and whatnot. And I think over time, once you get older, it's going to make, you know, you'll see which way you want to take it. So.
Then, Michael, let's fast forward a few years. This youngster has had some success. They're going to play college golf. How do you advise them to look at that process and go about choosing a school?
I think communication is very, very important. Being on top of your communication, reaching out to coaches, building a resume of what you've done and structuring that to a sense of where it's very accessible. You can send it to a coach. I don't know the whole recruiting rules and regulations anymore. I know they've changed since I've been in college. But I think it's just important to make sure that you not too over-communicate, but make sure you reach out. And the scarcity factor, I know a lot of kids, and probably myself too, were scared to reach out and thought they could never get to a program that they, you know, one of the biggest programs in the country and whatnot. But it's, you know, the worst thing you get is no. So I think it's really important just to reach out, you know, sell yourself to someone like, you know, what you would want to, you know, don't be, I mean, you can be humble, but make sure you tell them like who you are and what you're about. And coaches want to know who you really are as a person, not obviously golf is important because they're recruiting you, but they want to know who you are as a guy. And first of all, and see if that fits into their picture of as a team member of their team. So I think that's really important. What do you have?
Yeah, Blake, what do you think, high school, junior, senior, what should they be looking for in a university golf program, academics? What's your advice?
I mean, I think it kind of can vary depending on, you know, what you view as, you know, being beneficial to you. But I think that your relationship with the coaches is very important. I think that having two guys that are, you know, that you can go and talk to and almost acquire as like a mentor, you know, built-in mentorship is really important, especially when you're, you know, first getting into it. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be brand new experiences that you just won't know what to do until you experience it. And I think having some trustworthy guys, some guys that have been through it, allows you to kind of fall back on them. I think that's really important. But again, I mean, I would say, you know, go through a pro and con list of what you find most valuable, whether that's being close to your family, whether that's, you know, golf course, academics. I think there's a couple categories that you can jot down and say, okay, which one do I find most valuable? And, you know, kind of just go down the list and, you know, put those universities up against that list and then see which ones are most applicable. And like Mike said, I think reaching out to the coaches is something that's very sought after in the coach's perspective. I think that a lot of guys like myself and probably like Mike were a little nervous to talk to coaches and thought that, you know, whether they weren't good enough or that they didn't, you know, deserve the opportunity. But that is something that I think I wish I would have leaned on more, is as uncomfortable as it was making those calls and reaching out to them. I think that the most beneficial ones were in that situation. I think that was able to show them that maybe you're a little bit ahead of the curve and that's someone that is ready to, that's a little bit more mature beyond their age and ready to go into school once they hit the ground. So.
Wichita State Golf, the Shockers are early in their spring season. Their next action is March 11th and 12th. They'll go to Auburn, Alabama to play in the Tiger Invitational. Michael Winslow and Blake Lorenz, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Malcolm out near the timeline. Left side of the floor to Baker. Ron works deeper to the wing. Fires a three. Good! Ron Baker with his third 3-point field goal of the game, and Wichita State goes ahead by 4.